Why do we allow our insecurities to run our lives? It was not easy being a skinny teenager. So I took to weightlifting. I loved playing rugby, but couldn't compete with the bigger lads. So I borrowed some weights and spent every spare minute I had doing bench presses and barbell curls. And you can see it's made a big difference to my physique. Insecurity describes someone who is unsure of their self. While some of the more susceptible to these feelings, I'm sure we'd all agree that at some point in time, we all feel insecure. And in some cases, it is perfectly natural way by which our mind is saying, you can't do that. You'll regret it if you do. I had those strong feelings when a friend suggested I celebrate my 40th birthday by jumping out of a plane. In other cases, our insecurity comes from difficulties as a child, or low self-esteem, or even just pressure from work or life generally. And it's easy for us to make decisions based on feelings of insecurity. And we can even allow those feelings to affect major decisions. And in this way, insecurity can start to run our lives. And have you ever asked yourself, why do you allow this to happen? Well, often it comes down to fear. We avoid commitment in relationships because we fear rejection. We decide not to apply for a promotion because we fear failure. We avoid being open about our Christian faith because we fear being thought of as weird. We will often go to great lengths to avoid situations that make us or have the potential to make us feel insecure. However, sometimes we can't avoid these situations, particularly when they arise because of the insecurities of other people. I remember, well, an office manager who was a legal executive, and she hated trainee solicitors. She made my life miserable. And you will all have examples of insecure people making life difficult for you by throwing their weight around, making unnecessarily or by making poor management decisions based on their own insecurity rather than for the good of the office or the business. Now, in our passage this lunchtime, we are reminded where our security needs to come from. Jesus has spent the last hour or so in the Sermon on the Mount empathizing with and addressing areas in life where insecurity might arise. He's talked about the bully, the enemy, the adulterer, the self-righteous, and above all, he says, do not worry. And here, in this concluding parable to the sermon, Jesus now draws his thoughts together, and he insists that the only way you can survive the winds and rains of insecurity that beat you down daily is if you have a secure foundation. So Jesus reminds us firstly then to build a foundation on the rock of certainty. Now in this parable, Jesus understands being out there and living life as equivalent to building a house. We're all building one just by the way that we live. And Jesus insists in verse 24 that he has given his audience the words to build a solid house. All you need to do is listen and put the teaching into action. And Jesus is driving the sermon home by saying, take what I've said, hear my words, and do them. Or reject them, cast them off, and do your own thing. But if you do what I say, you will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Now, the Bible is littered with references to God as the rock. You take, for example, Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. And Jesus is also referred to as a rock. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 10:4, where Paul is writing about Israel's flight from Egypt, and he describes Jesus as the spiritual rock that guided Israel through the desert. So what Jesus is saying is this: the wise person will build his house on the teaching of God's word, my word, the Bible. Now, when did you last experience that craving for food sensation? You may have been working late and suddenly you just needed the sugar rush. Just show me the nearest chocolate bar. Now, I occasionally get this deep, felt, earnest, passionate desire for a curry, finished off with a bottle of ice-cold Kingfisher beer. Now, according to neuroscientists, the brain craves certainty in a similar way to a food craving for a Mars bar or a bottle of Kingfisher. And it's a craving that occurs at the same part of the brain. In fact, our brain runs on certainty. Now, let me try to explain. Neuroscientists now think the brain is a prediction machine. Our brain receives patterns from the outside world, stores them as memories, and makes predictions by combining what it has seen before and what is happening now. And it needs certainty to do this well. So my eyes see an Indian restaurant, passes a message to my brain, and born out of past experience, my brain says, yes, please. And in fact, a sense of uncertainty about the future generates a strong threat or alert response in your limbic system. Your brain detects that something is wrong, and your ability to focus on other issues diminishes. You see, your brain doesn't like uncertainty. It's like a type of pain, something to be avoided. And I guess that explains that when my friend mentioned parachuting out of a plane, that I went into hiding. God has clearly made humans with an innate desire for certainty. And yet, verse 25 reminds us that life is anything but certain. Who knows when life will serve up the next storm? Will it be work-related, something to do with family, or maybe it will be a health issue? Maybe you're in the midst of one of those storms at the moment. So what then do we learn from verse 25? Well, something very simple and yet profound. No matter what challenges life serves up, if your foundation is built on the Lord Jesus Christ, your house will not fall. See, being in Christ gives you the hope that you will need in the midst of any of life gales or hurricanes. You will be able to withstand anything if you can stand, or you are standing, upon Christ the rock. But I do have a question. If we innately crave the rock of certainty, why is it that we so often find ourselves constructing on shifting sands? So I want us to note, secondly, that Jesus warns us against building a house upon the sands of uncertainty. Now, as a vast prediction machine, it means that you don't just hear, you hear and predict what should come next. It means that you don't just see, you predict what you should be seeing moment to moment. It means that we are creatures that anticipate the future and understand the consequences of our actions. So why is it then that you do sometimes choose to build your life and your house on the sands of uncertainty? You crave certainty, and yet you choose uncertainty. You listen to Jesus' words and maybe even outwardly agree with them. And yet, why is it that we so often fail to put them into practice? And Jesus is incredibly blunt with what he thinks of this. You are like a foolish person who builds his house on sand. But why do we do this? Well, it comes down to unbelief. We simply do not believe what Jesus is saying, or we would not commit murder by hating our boss. We would be salt and light in the workplace. We would not commit adultery by looking lustfully at that woman on the computer. We would not break a promise but keep our word. We would not lie to our colleagues. We would be a loyal employee or a compassionate employer. We would be generous with our time and money, seeking to build up treasures in heaven. Now, as we think about this parable with Jesus being the rock, it must mean that sand is anything but the rock. Sand is anything that you are building your life on and future on other than Jesus Christ. Are you investing your future in the success of your business? Or on that next promotion? Or on the success of ... you fill in the gap. If this is the case, then are you ready for the coming storm? Florida lives in panic of hurricanes. I know, I lived there for 5 years, and in 2005, just before I arrived, two hurricanes passed through Orlando, causing devastating damage. Between them, Hurricane Katrina and Wilma killed 17 people, with damage reaching $23 billion. From July to October, each year, Floridians live in fear. They wait and look and see how these storms are growing and developing as they come across the Atlantic. And past experience tells them that before too long, another storm will hit. The question is, will they be ready? Are you ready? Even now, one of life's storms may be brewing. It may be so small and so far off that at the moment you can't detect it. But it's coming. And you know that I'm telling you the truth because you are prediction machines. You know that there is 100% certainty that uncertainty, that uncertain troubles, that paralyzing storms will come. The residents of Florida live in fear. But the message of the Bible is, do not fear the future. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. But seek first the kingdom of God. Live a life that builds a house upon a solid foundation. Now, Jesus is not saying that storms will not come. He's just saying that when they do, if your house is built on Him, anything can be withstood. And what a comfort for those of us endeavoring to build our house on the rock of certainty. We see at the end of this chapter that Jesus taught with authority. Are you building your house on the sands of uncertainty? Well, He urges you this lunchtime to repent of your unbelief and put these words of the Sermon on the Mount into practice. Let us all, as we conclude this series on the sermon, strive to be wise people who build our house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen.